Can we worship the Lord, everybody? Just for a moment. I feel like there is a, some would say maybe an undercurrent, you know, or a door ready to be open. And I believe that that comes through our worship, through our expectation. And our expectation is proven by our worship. Amen. James said, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith by your works. And so he's letting you know when you begin to clap, when you worship. As we talked about this morning, we show God, okay, we're ready. We mean business about what you're about to do. God wants to do it. He's ordained to do it. He's purposed to do it already. He's just waiting for us. Amen. So let's forget about the fact that it's a Sunday night or whatever time it is or what's going on. And just for a moment, Jesus is here. We're here. And that's all we really need. Amen. Would you lift your hands? Would you clap your hands? You can shout unto God, whatever you feel like doing. Just put everything to one side for a moment. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and let's shout unto God with the voice of triumph here today. In the name of Jesus, we thank I'm grateful to be here one more time in the house of God. If you open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 19 as you remain standing, and I want to honor your pastor and his wife and his family. I love them very much. I consider them friends, and I'm grateful to get to have known them a little bit more this time and spend some time with them. They're great people of God. They love God genuinely. They love each and every one of you genuinely. And, you know, it's so amazing to see a pastor kind of step down for a moment and shake people's hands and just, you know, hug your neck and tell each and every one of you that he loves you, and his wife does the same as well. And you know, you don't get that everywhere, if I'm being honest with you. And I've been a lot of places throughout this country, and it just doesn't happen everywhere, and I'm grateful to see them and their ministry and what God is doing through them, amen, and just to be a part of that. And so if you love them, would you give God a big round of applause for your pastor, his wife, his daughter, amen. And as you're opening to 1 Kings chapter 19, I'll also ask you to open 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 32. And I also want to honor my wife and my son, who I love very much. And it seems my son probably has my wife out right now of the building. But anyway, she is an amazing woman of God that I could not do this without. That is for sure. Some people, you know, aren't able to preach because their wife, if I'm just being honest, their wife just won't have it, you know, won't. And all the things my wife and I have been through, we have traveled quite a bit. And the first year we started evangelizing, just to share something with you. I'm giving you all time to look for the scripture, right? I'm stalling for you, not for me. And we got in a car. I actually didn't have a car to begin with. We took a one-way ticket out to Indiana and believed that God would open doors because that's what he said to do. And so we did that. And we would use my wife's grandma's car to go preach revival because we didn't have any wheels, you know, and we didn't know where we were going to stay. We didn't know what we were going to eat. We had no job, no nothing. We were just evangelizing because that's what God said to do. And anyway, so I'm grateful for my wife who has stuck with me through it all, you know, and through the tears and the pain and the joy and all the good stuff and the not so good, as we call it. And I'm grateful for her love for God most of all. Amen. And so I appreciate them. Appreciate my son as well, who still needs the Holy Ghost. So pray for him. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1. If you have it, can you say amen? The Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And let's skip over to 2 Kings. And just to give you a little bit of context, Elijah has seen some great things happened just shortly before Jezebel threatens him. And 2 Kings chapter 9, kind of fast forwarding a little bit, verse 32, the Bible says, "And he lifted up his face to the window," and this is Jehu now that we're talking about, "and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, 'Throw her down.'" He's talking about Jezebel, that same person that threatened his elder man of God. "And so they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot." I want to talk to you for a brief moment. My destiny is greater. It's really simple, very easy. My destiny is greater. Amen. Would you put your Bibles to one side? Let's ask the Lord to be with us here tonight, that he would just have his way. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in this house. Would you lift your voice with me, church? We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to be here. I pray that you would anoint my mind, and would you loose my tongue to speak your word here today. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've already done and what you're about to do here in this house, and the authority that we are going to walk in continually from day in to day out, Lord God, that we are going to walk in a newness of mind, a newness of spirit here today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord, and would you worship God for a moment? The Bible says, "Clap your hands, all ye people, and to shout unto God with the voice of triumph." So if you're triumphant in any way in Jesus Christ, would you do that? Would you let your voice out? And would you shout unto God?
Yes! Hallelujah! Yes! Thank you, Jesus!
Yes! Hallelujah. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him you love him. Tell them you like what they're wearing. All around you, do that. After that, you may be seated. Now, I won't be long, but I'll finish when you respond. Is that all right? Okay. It's a couple of us. I won't be long, but I'll finish when you respond. How's that?
Amen.
There we go. Amen. Now we're getting it. Amen. You all know I'm not a long-winded preacher, so anyway. I want to talk to you for a brief moment on the subject, my destiny is greater. Turn to your neighbor and say, my destiny, or the destiny God has for my life, is greater than anything that can happen. I believe that the enemy, and from telling what was going on this morning, I realized that there were a lot of emotional things happening, a lot of spiritual attacks happening in our lives. And though we are believers, though we are Christian, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes still each and every day, each and every moment, to try and pull you away from the things of God, to try and get you distracted, or get you to no longer believe in the promises of God for your life. You know, the enemy, I don't believe, is afraid of the promise of God in your life. I believe he's afraid of when you start believing in the promises of God for your life. Because when you start believing in what God has said over your life and quit believing the lies of the enemy, then all of a sudden, he's afraid that you're going to become something powerful. You're going to become something great in the eyes of God. And so it is in this same portion of scripture, 1 Kings chapter 19, we have a great man of God, and his name is Elijah. And Elijah, to give you a little bit of backstory there before this scripture, he sees fire literally come out of heaven. Now, I have never seen that before. I think it would be an amazing thing. But if you have ever seen fire fall out of heaven, now don't nobody go raise your hand. You know, if you've ever seen that happen, you know, I want you to think about that. I want to just take a count. Has anyone ever seen seen fire come out of heaven. All right, me neither, okay? So we're on the same page with that. Amen? Everybody with me? Okay, maybe I need to switch the message or something. All right. Talking to some people that are a little more spiritual than I thought here or something. I don't know. Anyways, and so I've never seen that happen before. And Elijah, he's there on Mount Carmel, and you have all the prophets of Baal, this false god. And Elijah says, look, Ahab, he says, go ahead and let's see what's going on here. I want you to bring all the prophets of Baal and let's get these guys to go ahead and sacrifice to their god Baal. And when they do, let's see whoever's god responds by fire from heaven, supernatural, then that will be God. And so the prophets of Baal go around the altar, and the story goes into all kind of detail that I won't go into, but they were cutting themselves and doing all kind of stuff to try and get their god's attention. The reality was their god was not real. Their god is not true, is not living, is not an actual God that can save or restore or deliver them out of their situation. And so therefore they go on and on and on, and now Elijah's taunting them, telling them, look, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's away on vacation. Maybe he can't hear you right now. And so the story goes on. They finally give up, and Elijah, he goes ahead and puts more water around the trench there of the altar, and he prays a quick prayer. And after that quick prayer, our God, the one true God, responds with fire out of heaven. And so it's a miraculous account, a supernatural thing that Elijah sees, and calling the fire out of heaven and realizing that God, our God, the one true God, is God. And Ahab even professes, wow, this is absolutely true that your God is God. And now Elijah goes, and he doesn't allow the prophets of Baal, the false prophets, to live, but he kills them. He kills every one of them. And I believe that he, in doing that, was destroying every opportunity the enemy had to try and bring up that false doctrine and those lies again. And so now the next portion of scripture in which we read allows us to understand that now Elijah has this great spiritual moment, this great spiritual encounter, and all of a sudden Ahab the king goes back to his wife, his crazy wife named Jezebel, and he tells Jezebel all that Elijah had done on the mountain. And so therefore Jezebel goes and sends a messenger over to Elijah, and the messenger says, look, according to what Jezebel said, she said that if you're still here about this time tomorrow, you will be dead the same way the prophets of Baal have died. And so you have this great man of God who's seen a great mighty work of God all of a sudden run away from one messenger who sends a word from Jezebel, who has no power within herself to actually kill the man of God. It blows my mind that all of a sudden this great man of God is afraid. Everyone just say fear. Fear is something I have seen really throughout the country grip all kinds of people, not only unbelievers, but believers alike. I've heard of a lot of people in ministry and so on say, man, I've got these anxiety attacks, and, you know, it's really just constant with me. I'm afraid of what's going to happen or what's not going to happen. I'm nervous about what's happening in my life. And Elijah, after having a great spiritual encounter, all of a sudden is faced with fear. And so it makes me realize, well, fear has been around for a long time. This is not anything new. This is not anything that is all of a sudden coming up in the world that we're living in, right? Everybody with me, amen? Would you say amen? This is not something that's just, oh wow, this is something new, and they've got new fancy words for it, new diagnoses for it, and all kind of, you know, different words in the dictionary for it. But the reality is it all boils down to fear. It all boils down to that spirit that is trying to destroy that next aspect in our walk with God or our destiny that God has promised in our life. And if you read on, Elijah, the Bible says in the very next portion of scripture that God got Elijah Elijah up and said, all right, I need you to go and anoint a man named Jehu. And when you anoint Jehu, he's going to go on and do my work for my kingdom. And so I believe that Jezebel, that evil woman, realized somehow, some way, look, if I don't destroy this man of God now, something is going to happen. And my plan and my wicked plan is going to be destroyed later on. And so this evil woman decided, I'm going to send a messenger to Elijah to try and speak these lies into his life. And I want you to realize something. The enemy does not have the power to destroy you. The enemy does not have the power to kill you, or else you would be dead. The enemy does not have the power to take away the promises of God in your life. But he sees what is up ahead sometimes. And so he sees that promise of God or that plan of God in your life. He might see when you receive the Holy Ghost, or when you get delivered, like in a Sunday morning service, like this morning, and you get set free from the fear that he has placed on your life. And his desire, the enemy's desire, is to keep you right where he had you, is to keep you living in that fear. But I believe today that God has not only set us free this morning, but God is also going to allow us to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. You will not die. You will not live in fear. You will not go back to fear. You will not go back to depression. But you are a child of the Most High God. And there is a purpose and there is a plan in your life and in this city and in this church that will not be destroyed. Why? Because the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. I'm a part of the church. Therefore, hell cannot win. Therefore, the enemy cannot win. He can lie to me all he wants. But I believe today that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Would somebody clap your hands? I feel the Holy Ghost here in this place.
Yes,
I feel Jesus here. I'm telling you, your destiny is greater. Your purpose is greater than any lie the enemy can bring into your life. People say, well, Brother Jesse, you know, I realize I was delivered this morning. I realize I can be delivered tonight. But what about tomorrow morning when I wake up? Let me tell you something. The only reason that people go back to what they were already into is because they start believing the lies of the enemy. When you're delivered, you're delivered. When you are free, you are free. It's over. It's done. And so we are no longer here in this church going to go back to what we've been delivered of. Go back to what we've been set free from. We are going to walk in authority and walk in faith. And if you realize the rest of the story, the Bible, as I read to you in a pretty graphic scene, the Bible tells us that Jehu cries out and he says, look, he says, who is on my side? And he says, who? And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down, talking about Jezebel, the woman that threatened his prophet Elijah, the man of God that came and anointed Jehu. And now Jehu, this young, zealous man of God, he decides, look, that evil woman, she has to be destroyed. The lies of the enemy, they have to be shut down. They have to be quiet in your life. I want you to realize something today, that the enemy is afraid of what is about to happen in your life. I see destiny. I see a purpose. I see a great plan here for this church and for you individually. And so you've got to make up in your mind, I'm going to get up from where I was and I'm not going back to the way it was. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. I'm going to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. And I believe today that I'm not going back to the chains of bondage. I'm not going back to the way it was. Why? Because there is a plan that's going to destroy the plan of the enemy. There is something God is going to do on the inside that's going to destroy the devices of the enemy in my life. I'm telling you today that we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be nervous about this or that or the other. What if we get the enemy mad? Well, the enemy was mad all through the Old Testament, if you really think about it. And especially in the New Testament, after Jesus resurrected, they were threatened. The disciples were threatened with their own lives. Some of them died. Most of them died, actually, for the cause of Jesus. But that did not stop them. One man, Paul, was stoned and he was left for dead. They thought he was dead for preaching the gospel. But he decided, I'm going to get up, dust off my feet, and I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm here to let you know that God has a purpose for your life, a plan for your life. But you have to believe that God has a plan and that nobody can stop that plan. Nobody can destroy the plan of God in your life. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what's been going on. Doesn't matter what's happening today. You can walk in the authority that God has ordained for your life. We're going to walk in that victory and in that freedom that God has ordained for our lives. I don't believe for one moment that believers should be walking with their head held down. Some people I encounter, I ask them how they're doing, believers, and I'll say, how you doing? They'll say, well, you know, I'm just kind of barely making it. I'm just, you know, I'm getting through, brother. I'm getting by. Let me tell you something. Something's wrong with that answer. Why? Because that's not the way that it was meant for us to be as believers. We were supposed to walk with our head held high. We're supposed to walk in authority because the Bible says that, behold, I have given you power over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so when the enemy comes to lie, when the enemy comes to try and destroy the plan of God from my life and says, Jesse, you're not good enough. There's no way in the world you're going to see hundreds and thousands and millions receive the Holy Ghost, and all I've got to do is say, guess what? You're not the one who gave me the anointing, but it's God Almighty from heaven. Therefore, I don't answer to you. I'm here to let you know that greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. So we've got to understand that our destiny is greater. You know, the enemy only threatens what he's afraid of. If you think about it, the enemy only threatens what he is afraid of, is nervous of what is about to happen. If I really begin to think about Pharaoh and how he started killing off babies, it makes no sense at the surface, because babies are helpless. Babies can do nothing in that stage to overthrow a kingdom or to destroy a kingdom. But Pharaoh realizes, look, I'm nervous about what these babies are going to become. And if they become something great, someone great, they can overthrow my kingdom. I'm here to let you know that the enemy was not afraid of those babies for the state in which they were in, but the enemy was afraid for what they were about to become. The enemy was afraid of what was about to transpire in their life, of a Moses that was about to have an encounter with God and come back right in to the gates of Egypt and say, look, Pharaoh, you got to let my people go. I'm telling you today that God has a plan here in your life, for your life, not for just 1,000 years from now, or not for your kids and their kids and so on, but for you today, God has a plan. So we understood that people are constantly, I've seen it, man, people are constantly plagued with condemnation, and condemnation is another one that tries to destroy what God is doing in our life. I've seen it. I've battled it. I've overcome it, I believe. And I've seen it before and over again, that people come to church. They get delivered. They get the Holy Ghost. They're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They're baptized in Jesus' name. And after that moment, I mean, they walk away. Well, I don't know if I'm good enough to do the will of God. I don't know if I'm good enough to walk with God. I want you to understand, the enemy begins to throw those lies into our mind and into our spirit. So that way, next Sunday when we come to church, we'll say, well, this week maybe wasn't the most successful week. You know, I didn't pray like I really, really, really wanted to pray 3 times a day and so on and so forth. And now because of that, we feel condemned, and we feel, you know, in our spirit, there's no way that I can amount to what God wants. I want you to realize something today, that the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation condemnation is not to you. It's not for you here today. And so Peter, this great man of God, he was one man of God that I believe would have battled with condemnation, had to overcome the lies of the enemy of condemnation. And there he is as Jesus is being crucified. This man that he walked with for 3.5 years that he loved and Jesus loved, and he loved Jesus. And there he is by the fire, and all of a sudden they start looking at him and say, hey, you're one of those. You're the one that walks with Jesus. You're the one that hangs out with Jesus, aren't you? And he denies. No, that's not me. I'm not one of those Christians. I'm not one of those Jesus followers. That's not me. And they ask him even more as they start realizing that he was somebody who had hung out with Jesus. And he starts even more. He goes ahead and he neglects the fact that he hung out with Jesus. And he starts cursing. He starts cussing right there just to try and be like one of them and show that he didn't really follow Jesus. And therefore, in that next moment, he goes on, and you can imagine the condemnation that Peter is dealing with. You can imagine the state of mind that Peter is in. Now, if God is going to do anything in my life, it's probably all done. Probably what he said. The enemy comes and lies to him, tells him there's no way, man, that you can, there's no way you can go and preach about Jesus now. How can you ever see a miracle again in your life? You just denied the fact that you walked with Jesus just a moment ago as Jesus is suffering and dying on the cross. How many of you ever dealt with condemnation before? God, I've sinned. I've messed up. How in the world do you want me to go and preach? How in the world do you want me to go and give a Bible study? You want me to sing? You want me to lead people of God into worship? How does that work when my mind is not, you know, there? Or I've sinned or I've messed up before God. I want you to understand, Peter was in the same boat, was in the same situation. That spirit, that lie of the enemy is not anything new. It's an old thing. The enemy tried to use it back then, and he's trying to use it today. And so Peter, if you fast forward in the scripture, in the book of Acts, Peter goes on and he preaches on the day of Pentecost. He stands up and he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what happens next is over 3,000 people that receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and are baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't know here today who is going to preach like Peter or who's got that destiny in your life, what it is that you're going to do next. But I want you to understand that God did not bring you this far to leave you there. God did not bring you this far to say, well, a one-time deliverance and that's it. No, he wants you to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. That I've been washed in the blood. I've been covered by his name. Condemnation is not for me. The enemy has no say over my life. Would you clap your hands just for a moment unto the Lord? It is so important to understand today that we have to walk in what we've received. We have to live in what we have received. Amen. This is not something that happens once and that's it. It's over. I feel like this time next year we should be new people with a new mindset, with a greater walk with God. Amen. My God, there's a few of you. With a deeper anointing, with a greater level of fellowship and understanding. I want you to understand here today that this is the way that it should be. This is how it's supposed to happen. I think about Joseph when I think about confusion, and I think about that anxiety that people talk about. Joseph was a man of God that he saw a dream, a great dream, and he goes and tells his brothers about the dream, that they're going to be bowing down to him and so on. He's the youngest of the older brothers. Now, I've got a younger brother. And if my younger brother ever came up to me and said, Jesse, I saw this dream, man, and you're going to be bowing down to me in the dream. Yeah, just face first and everything, you know. I don't know that I'd have the most godly response. Can I just be honest with everybody? All right, we got some real spiritual people here tonight. I don't know. I'm just being honest. I don't know if I'd have the great, you know, let's take it a notch further. My little sister, who pretty much thinks she runs the house, you know. If she came up, it'd probably be more likely if she did, came up and said, Jesse and James, that's my brother's name, James, you know, you guys are going to be bowing down to me. I saw this whole vision and stuff. You know, we'd probably be, hey, you know, why don't you go over here? Just, yeah, forget about all that. You know, we probably wouldn't respond in the most Christ-like way. And so Joseph has all kinds of brothers, not just two, you know, but he's got more. And he goes and he tells them about this dream. And before you realize, Joseph is being thrown into a pit and he's being sold for slavery. And so Joseph has this great spiritual dream, this great spiritual encounter. And all of a sudden, the next place he finds himself is in a pit, is in a hole where it's completely dark and there's no life around. There's no way out. And now he's being sold into slavery. You can imagine Joseph in that moment. Wait, hold on, God. I'm confused. You said it was going to be like this, but it's not really looking that way. Nothing points to it. Nothing shows that it's going to be the way that you said. What in the world is going on? And confusion hits our lives the same way. God gives us a promise. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We feel great about it one service. And the next thing you know, man, the enemy, after you're delivered, after you're set free, comes in and says, hey, well, you know what? It's not going to be that way. Now, here's a trial. And God allows that trial. And before you know, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, what in the world is going on? I want you to understand today that that trial, that tribulation is only for a season. That situation is only for a moment. But confusion is not from God. I want you to realize today that even though Joseph went through the pit, and even though he was locked up in prison, and he was a slave before that, Joseph still saw the promise of God in his life. I want this church to know that God has delivered us. God has freed us. God has allowed us here today to walk in that authority. So somebody get up and walk and live in the authority of the Holy Ghost. Would you clap your hands just for a moment? We are not going to live in a place where fear is going to overcome us again. Would somebody say amen? We're not going to live in a place. I've had some people, some that are here, some that are not, come up to me after church and say, you know, I feel different. I feel light earlier this morning. I feel, you know, I don't feel what I felt anymore, you know, and I want you to understand something. You're not supposed to feel what you felt anymore after this morning service is over. After tonight is over, we're going to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. We are going to walk in a newness of life. We are going to walk here today as believers in Jesus Christ. And so the next time you go and pray, the next time you fast these next couple of days, don't do it with a begging attitude. Don't do it with a, well, I hope God hears me because I'm a sinner. No, do it in a way that God has delivered me. God has set me free. And therefore, He is my Father and I'm His child. And as His child, I am making a request unto my God. And I don't want you to ask God for something small. Ask God for something big, because He is a big God. He's not an ordinary size. He's not a God that can't talk back. He's not a God that can't hear our prayers. But He is a God that desires to answer our prayers here today. Our destiny is greater than what the enemy can bring on us here today. And I understand that this morning people were delivered. How many of you felt delivered? You felt something change? We would you raise your hand very quickly? Now you can put your hand down. People, you felt something change. You felt something different and shift. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to rejoice. Is that all right? We're going to rejoice. And we're not going to go back. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to toil with the idea, well, you know, maybe I should live this way. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm not sure. I don't know about fear and so on and so forth. No, no, no. And if you haven't been delivered, tonight's your night. God has promised us here today to have power over the plan of the enemy. You notice Jezebel threatened Elijah, but the reality is Elijah actually never died at the hand of Jezebel. Because that's all it is a threat. That's all it is the voice of the enemy telling you that you're not going to make it, telling you you can't do this, you can't be that, telling you that, yes, you can be delivered for a service, but then after that healing, this sickness is going to come right back, that situation is going to come right back to you, that whatever's going on is going to come back into your life. I want you to realize that's just a lie from the enemy. I have seen people. Now, I'm just kind of getting real here, but I have seen people be delivered, be healed in their body physically. I've seen them get out of wheelchairs, be absolutely healed. And the enemy comes and they feel a little bit, just a little bit of that pain in their body. And what happens? Oh, man, I wasn't healed. And instantly, they're completely not healed exactly the way they were. But then I've seen the opposite, where people have been delivered. They have been set free. They feel that pain come, or that maybe that sickness, that depression, that fear, whatever it may be. And they say, wait, hold on. I realize that that is a lie from the enemy. That's just a spirit trying to creep into my home, trying to take my joy, trying to take my peace, trying to take my love that God has given me. And they say, look, and devil, I want you to realize that you have no right in this home, because the Jesus that lives in me is greater than anything you've got a hold of. This Jesus that I walk with is greater than any spirit out there. I want you to understand today, as a body of believers, that we are more powerful here in this house, that only one of you alone with God is greater than the entire kingdom of the enemy here today. You have that kind of power. I wish somebody would believe what I'm talking about here in this house. The enemy will not win. It's not going to happen. God is going to win. We are going to be victorious in the end of the day. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord here today? I feel like God wants us here in this house. We're going to do two things. We're going to pray that the Lord would allow us to walk and to live in this authority, in this joy, in this peace. Amen. And we're not going to hold it. We're not going to keep it in. We're going to let it go. A lot of you have been delivered already. Now I just want you to walk like you're delivered. Some of you, it was hard to worship. It was hard to praise. You know, you felt that heaviness of what the enemy had placed on your life. God has spoken into your life. I want you to grab a hold of that word that God's given you. Some of you, God said you're going to be a preacher. Some of you, God says you're going to be some anointed worship leader, singer, so on and so forth. You're going to minister to the masses. God has spoken into your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. Tonight, that plan of God is going to begin to go ahead and come to fruition. Tonight, as you walk in that authority, as you walk in that peace, as you walk in that love, the enemy is not going to win this battle. We here today, as believers of God, as children of God, are more than conquerors through all the... I'm telling you here today, we are more than conquerors. Every individual here in this house, God has already ordained for you and for me to be greater than what the enemy has planned in our lives, to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost, to walk in the plan of the Holy Ghost. I don't know who you're going to reach, but there is a plan of God in your life for you to reach somebody, for you to reach the unreachable, for you to give a Bible study to somebody that would never hear a Bible study, for you to preach to masses all over this world. There is a plan of God here in this church for what God is doing. Would you all stand with me right now? You know, you've already here today been destined to do great things for God. How many of you believe that? How many of you want to be used mightily by God? And I'm going to be quite honest and kind of step out here on a limb, if you will. I feel like in the days we're living in, it's 2020 now, no longer 2019, living in a new year, new times, everything is so much different. I feel like it's not just going to come with preaching behind a pulpit. God's going to use you and the avenues that He has granted you, the doors that He has opened at your jobs and even through social media and so on, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you say, you know, God told me I'm going to preach to all kinds, hundreds and thousands of people, but I'm not a preacher, Brother Jesse. I'm giving you an answer right now. God has ordained something in your life. If you will listen to it, if you will obey it, I'm telling you, this world can be reached. Santa Maria here can be reached. Your family can be reached. The people on your job, your schools can be reached here today. We are not going to sit here afraid of what the enemy might throw at us. I'm not going to stand here and be afraid afraid of the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to be afraid of what the enemy might throw at me later on. I'm telling you here today that I am victorious in the things of God, that you are victorious in the things of God, that you are a believer, and that you are destined here today for greatness in the kingdom of God, that you are destined here today to do the unthinkable here for the kingdom of God. I want to ask us here if you would grab your neighbor very quickly. Grab them by the hand if you will, or you can put your arm around their shoulder if that's more comfortable for you. Very quickly, all around you, where it's appropriate. And I'd like you to bring them quickly down to this altar. Would you do that? Yeah, it's real spiritual, but just bring them on down to the altar. Amen. Amen. Would you come? There's some visitors. Bring your friends. Bring them on down. God desires and has designed for us to live in authority, to live in peace, to live in joy. Amen. Some of you didn't have the great smiles that you have right now before you came to Jesus. I watched one girl in Michigan a while back, and she sat in the back the whole time. And while I was preaching my guts out, and she's just staring at me, just with the meanest, angriest face that you can possibly think of, and then make it 10 times angrier than that. And so I remember looking at her and trying to look away, because I'm like, man, something's going to happen. And something did happen. She ended up coming up to the altar after the service. I don't know who brought her up, how she got there, but she came. I think she probably came up on her own. And she just stood there, and I walked up, and I said, God wants to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to set you free from all of this anger and all the stuff that's going on. And she said, all right, you know, still kind of hard and angry and upset and everything. And I said, why don't you go ahead and ask God for forgiveness? She asked God for forgiveness, and she lifted up her hands, and in a few short moments, she started speaking with other tongues, and the power of God came and filled her, and she was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I watched as her face literally, I'm not making this up, her face literally had a glow, and it actually became lighter than it was. It was amazing, really. And some of you, if you've been in church any time at all, you've probably seen that kind of thing before. People's demeanor actually changes. She was then in that service baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, setting her free from any situations that have happened in the past. I'm telling you today that we are believers, that we have the most powerful thing here in this entire world. We've got the greatest power in this world. This is second to none. We have the power of Jesus Christ. And when you go to your jobs, and when you go to your schools, and when you go wherever it is that you go throughout the week, people are going to begin to know, wait, hold on, something is different. Because when I saw you last week, things were different. But today, something's different about the way you look, about the way you're talking, because you're not going to walk and talk in what you used to be and what you used to do, but rather you're going to walk and talk in the love of Jesus Christ, in the peace and in the joy of Jesus Christ, that when you shake somebody's hand, they're going to know, wait, something is different about you. I want you to understand it's going to happen here today. Right now, there's promises that God's given you, God's spoken into your life. Some of you just got to speak the peace of God into your life, the joy of the Lord, and that when you get home, I want you to speak it over your home. Can we do that? I feel that in the Holy Ghost. We're going to speak it over our home. We're going to speak the love of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the peace of God over our home. Because when you get home, and I want you to tell the enemy, look, when I get home, you better not be there. I know a few of you believe this. You better not be there. Why? Because I'm not coming home to that situation anymore. I'm coming home, and Jesus is coming with me. Jesus and his angels are coming with me. And when I walk through the door, the peace of Jesus Christ is going to flood into my home. Some of you haven't been able to sleep throughout the night. Some of you haven't been able to drive through the day because you're so worried and panicked. I'm telling you today that that is going to change, because the power of Jesus Christ is here in this building, and you're here today. Earlier this morning, we shouted hallelujah, but today, tonight, we're going to shout the name of Jesus. Is that all right? We're going to shout the name of Jesus, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Chains fall. Things happen at the name of Jesus. And we're going to be delivered and stay delivered. Amen? And so I want you to do that. We're all going to shout after we begin to worship. I'm going to speak a word of faith. And we're going to shout the name of Jesus on the count of three. And after that, I want you to begin to speak the promises of God into your life. Amen. You're going to begin to speak peace. You're going to just say it. I speak the peace of God into my home. I speak the peace of God over my son, over my wife, over my daughter, over my mother, my father. I speak the peace of God, the love of God into my home. Fear, you have to go. Depression, you have to go. Anxiety, you have to go. You couldn't trip them up in the Bible, and you're not going to trip me up today because I'm a believer just like they were. Right now, every person in this building, would you lift your hands all around this place? Would you lift your hands? Would you do that right now? Would you go ahead and would you lift your voice all over this building? That's it. There's an authority. There's a boldness. Just said and entered into the room. Begin to prophesy it in the name of Jesus. Begin to prophesy it. My son, my daughter, they will be great men and women of God in the name of Jesus. Begin to prophesy. Yeah, that's it. All over this building. Right now, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus, I command every fear, every depression, every bit of condemnation, I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus, never to return. Everybody, let's shout Jesus. One, two, three. Jesus! That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All over this building. Would you begin to pray? Would you continue to pray in the name of Jesus? Come on, come on. That's it. God's working all over this building right now. We're going to walk in that newness of life. We're going to walk in that authority. We're going to walk in that peace. There is an anointing. There is a plan of God here for your life. There is a purpose of God here for your life. He is not done with you. He is not going to leave you here. These are going to be your greatest moments in the kingdom of God. These are going to be your greatest moments here in the kingdom of God.